Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Universal Talk. Today, we have another special teleconference for our listeners. We're all here today to honor those who transitioned on this fateful day 9 years ago. Our hearts go out to all those who have lost loved ones, their jobs, and even their homes during that time. And we send unconditional love from the highest source of creation to those still suffering from this tragedy. On today's show, we ponder the question, what would happen if we took four individuals with a higher awareness and brought them together to discuss 9/11? Why? Let's present the case. First, we must consider the countless amateur videos in the various disciplines coming forward to discuss the impossibility of a single plane taking down each of the Twin Towers. Not to mention that Building 7 came down later, several hundred yards away, with no plane hitting it. And what about the explosions that various witnesses, including police officers and firefighters, heard just prior to each tower falling? What about the Pentagon after being struck, the various high-ranking officials stating the impossibility of such an event? And don't forget the strange event of the so-called crashed plane in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. What if this day was set into motion as a false flag event, as some claim, to test the emotions and reactions of the country and the world for a larger scale event to occur in the future? Let's welcome our panel of guests on the show to discuss the tragedy of 9/11. Terry Ippoletti, Alfred Weber, and Laura Eisenhower. Welcome to Universal Talk.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's start off with Alfred this week. After all of your research and discussions over the years, what happened in the United States of America 9 years ago today?
Well, we've actually published just about a month ago an article. People can go to examiner.com or intellectualpolitics.com and read it, but it's a synthesis of, I think, the leading edge research on 9/11. And essentially, 9/11 was, at the technological level, was a showcase for at least four different exotic technologies, which were and are in the sole possession of the U.S. military intelligence at the black budget level. And those four technologies, very briefly, are, number one, remote-guided anti-gravity UFOs. What you saw is planes have been demonstrated by videotape analysis and by analysis of the so-called news feeds to be actually anti-gravity UFOs of the black budget that were remote controlled and that have the stealth cloaking capability to cloak themselves as jet airliners and to even sound like jet airliners. And we have whistleblowers that have come forth. Aaron McCollum was actually flown on anti-gravity UFO craft of the black budget to perform missions, who has confirmed that stealth capability. The second technology is quantum axis time travel, Tesla-based time travel, and our mutual colleague, Andrew Bishago, who was a childhood participant in Project Pegasus, actually was an eyewitness to images of these, quote, planes hitting the Twin Tower, which were actually the cloaked UFOs, which were brought back from a forward time base at 2045 that the that DARPA, the Advanced Project Research Agency, had in Project Pegasus, in time travel. So that, and the individual who was in charge of sort of policy coordination of that time travel project in 1971 was Donald H. Rumsfeld, who was a member of the Nixon cabinet then and who was destined to be Secretary of Defense on September 11, 2001. And according to what Andy has said, briefing papers were developed based on this information that circulated at the time. And the policy people in charge of this program were, in essence, the Nixon secret team, which included the Bush gang, Bush Jr. and Bush, members of the Bush gang who 30 years later, including Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, and a bunch of other people.
Okay, it looks like we all got dropped off the line there, speaking of such sensitive information here. And let me just make sure all my guests are back on. Alfred, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Terry?
Yes, I am.
And Laura?
I'm here.
Okay. You know, I'm sorry, Alfred, you were doing such a great job there. And just talking about Donald Rumsfeld.
Yeah. So that from a legal point of view, we now have eyewitness evidence that 30 years prior to 9/11, in this. H.W. Bush and other members of the Nixon secret team who had administrative access to the Project Pegasus notes about the time travel access of the 9/11 photographs that were brought back from the year from the forward time base at the year 2045. Those individuals, that evidence would be admissible under a theory very similar to the RICO statutes, and that is a racketeering conspiracy to commit treason, which then matured 30 years later with the events of 9/11. And I'm kind of laying this as a lawyer because we have prepared documents which I personally presented through my personal representative, a brief to the U.S. Congress and a statute for the appointment of a special prosecutor for violation of Article 3 of the U.S. Constitution, which is treason. And we met with the head of the Judiciary Committee in the House of Representatives. That would be the committee which does try treason. So we've done all of the steps, and, you know, we've sort of complied with X, Y, or Z. So now we have all of the evidence from a prima facie point of view. Now, that's the third second technology. The first technology is anti-gravity UFOs, which actually stealth and mimicked what the jetliners looked like. The second technology is exotic technology is anti-gravity time travel, through which they had 30 years advanced planning in which to kill 9/11. The third technology is directed energy weapons, possibly HARP, through which the Twin Towers, if you look at them at the moment that they came down, they really didn't fall. They kind of exploded out into fine particles, actually into nanoparticles. And that process scientifically is called molecular dissociation. The Twin Towers were taken apart at the molecular level. The molecules of the Twin Towers were dissociated from each other. And there's molecular dissociation. And even those people that are talking about the use of military-grade explosives there that would have caused a controlled demolition. That any controlled demolition would have left at least three stories of detritus, of rubble, and there was no rubble at the World Trade Center because the entire World Trade Center was dematerialized through the process of molecular dissociation. There were no bodies. The all that was recovered from a nearby bank building, I think, was one finger joint of one human body, a part of one finger joint of one human body. All of the bodies were subjected to molecular dissociation, all of the office furniture, all of the beams, everything. So it was molecular dissociation. So the fourth technology is mini-nukes, mini-nuclear bombs, fourth-generation mini-nukes, which were apparently used as well, detonated in buildings 1 and 2 and building 7. And we know that from the Geiger counter signature. Now, this is a well-planned operation with many layers of kind of false evidence there. And so that people have gotten all wrapped up in, was it military-grade explosives? Was it the planes? Was it this? Was it that? And there's raging debate so that the agencies like the National Security Agency, which has an entire department aimed at destabilizing the 9/11 Truth Movement, and the 9/11 Truth Movement itself, both of them working kind of as a dualistic unit, have become the major gatekeepers to any ongoing investigation. So I just laid out those four technologies. Now, at the deeper level as to why it occurred, there's both a political level, an exopolitical level, and a spiritual level to 9/11. It's sort of a destiny event. And with regard to the political level, very briefly, that has to do with the internet, what I call the International War Crimes Racketeering Organization, which is basically the satanic elite, the royal families of that make up the Bilderbergers, the royal family of Windsor, the royal family of the Netherlands, some of the other black nobility of Europe, the City of London Financial, the Rothschilds, their agents in the New World, which is the Rockefeller faction, Skull and Bones, which is the Brotherhood of Death, which is really the second chapter of the Illuminati, and that whole realm. At the exopolitical level, there may have been involvement of fourth density greys and reptilians in this event. And at the spiritual level, it may be part of an attempt by a sort of a dark spiritual faction to prevent an age of light and life from initiating itself on this planet. So that's kind of a preliminary scoping of this event. Well, in my humble opinion.
Right. That's great, Alfred. Let's go with Terry next. What do you think happened in your personal opinion? I know you come from a a point of view with the experiencer type of point of view, Terry. But do you have any other insight? Because I know you're quite psychic and a medium as well.
Well, I can remember that day clearly. I remember how much fear, like I was just standing there. And I remember somebody calling me up and saying, hey, turn your TV on, and I'm looking at what's going on. And I remember not having any fear. So I was kind of like stunned, though. And then, but everyone around me, like everyone, you know, that came across my path that day and even days after that, all I could hear coming from their mouth was fear. And but at the same time, in my kind of like trance or sleeping state, I was seeing like just like there was a belonging to this. Like I felt like this was at that time, even though I didn't know why I knew that, but it was the right like the something that was supposed to be. And right now, like, I have three Syrians that have been with me all day today. And they have been, like, when Alfred was just talking, there was, they kept on telling me, this is the, at certain parts, like, the cloaking, certain parts of his conversation, they were confirming. But they see it more in a light, because not only there was a lot of fear, there was a lot of awakenings, or a lot of people who see their lives differently, and I think it was all part. It's also a transition for humanity at the same time, and I think a lot of us who were awakened through the, what was it, the 1999 conversion or energy. I think a lot of them actually saw a lot of the truth that was happening, even those that have been around for a long time. So I agree with Alfred. It was funny that I was listening to it and just to, realizing that, wow, there's a lot of truth in that, but I never really thought about it until I was feeling what he was saying. So I think that there is a, all those people that did leave, and that was another part when he said that they were like, I know you didn't say vaporized, but I was thinking, there was no one there. It was like almost as if when you were speaking like that, what I felt was what they felt. And all they felt was a shift of energy. Those that were in the building, it was just like a shift of energy, and as though it was like an explosion of energy. Almost as if you would not, as if you were walking from one footstep to the other. So in my eyes, those people who left, they may have been feeling the fear beforehand. Okay, but as soon as they left, it was an agreed upon or an awareness once they transitioned through that, it was like a, I want to say vortex, but I don't think it's a vortex. It's an energy, a strong energy. So that's the only thing I can say right now.
So, Terry, considering that with the higher awareness, I'm sure you believe that we live thousands and millions of lives here, and prior to each incarnate, we have a path or a plan, if you will. And so are you saying that the people decided to come into this lifetime to fulfill or fulfill, I guess you could say, that mission to be there at that particular time, and
I mean, it's just like we are here, all of us are on the phone right now are not from here, you know, and we came here for this particular time to do what we're doing right now, and that's some of us are exposing the truth, others of us are experiencing it, and so those people that were in those buildings are they definitely came here. They just didn't remember, you know, at the time, but they certainly remembered as soon as they transitioned.
Okay. Laura.
Yeah, there's a lot of different factors. The part that has to do with the larger picture really does have to do with kind of keeping the planet in trauma and very much in the, you know, create a disaster and then have those that run the government be, you know, people that we depend on to create a solution where they're sort of where we need to resolve the trauma of a situation. What's deeper than this is that, you know, the very people that are kind of playing that, you know, helping hand or we're here to help and ease the pain and go to war mm-hmm. and solve this problem and handle the terrorists are really, you know, behind this in many ways. The reptilians only feed off negativity. That's what keeps them alive. That's why there's black magic rituals and this constant traumatizing of humanity so that the energy of fear and darkness they can feed on. And these events take place in order to not only keep the military-industrial complex going and the money to go into war, the whole thing after the fact is that we would have to go to war and keep this whole scenario alive. And that's one aspect of it. Also, Rumsfeld was questioned in regards to $2.3 trillion missing from the Department of Defense on 9/10/2001. And the part of the Pentagon that was attacked was where the financial investigation team was. And then World Trade Center 7 in New York was also where theft was being investigated. And that was taken down, and nothing really hit that. It just sort of collapsed on its own in a very demolition-style type way. Another factor is the amount of people that were kind of behind computers and in the banking professions noticed that the money doubled right before the towers went down. Their accounts doubled, not theirs personally, but the money that they're watching of these larger corporations and accounts. Then all of a sudden these buildings fell. And they were silenced, and a lot were so frightened of the pressure to maintain secrecy that a red death list was created, and many truthers have been targeted, and their lives have been destroyed and tortured for revealing any of the truth during that time. So when one looks at the amount of ramifications that truth tellers have, I mean, if it was nothing to worry about and it was just a bunch of conspiracy theories like there always is to anything that happens, then they would just say, oh, just let them yap away and, you know, they'll say what they will. But the fact that there's a lot of death happening is a whole other matter. Also, another important point is that the money was taken and used for MKUltra weapons. The money that was missing. And I'm not going to name the names of the group because I want to protect myself right now because I just feel just careful about it. But they're investigating, you know, where this money had gone, and supposedly the missing money went to MKUltra weapon, which is what we're dealing with right now. We're dealing with a war between our freedom and being microchipped and controlled. And this is the next phase of our humanity, and this really launched the next era of escaping from these mind weapons and these controls, and that this was some sort of plan to redirect a lot of money and keep a war going and keep us all in trauma to continue the agenda of world domination by these off-planet aliens that are using many of the government as a host, as they did in the Second World War and they have been doing for a really, really long time. And I think I'll keep it at that, but there's some good videos about Rumsfeld and the money that's missing that can be found. And, you know, it's something we really have to heal from. And as much as it's angering and troublesome, we also have to kind of see that that's a part of the game. And even somebody said the other day on a thread I was on, who I think connected to the Rothschilds, was that it's not even about the money. We've got plenty of money. It's more about the ritual, just so we can show the world how much power we have. And I was like, okay, well, you know, I'll just kind of put that in my archive, but didn't know really what to make of it. So I'll just kind of leave it at that.
Great. Okay, it is around 7:30, so I'd like to open up the phone lines now. If you have any questions for my guests here today that you need addressed, please give us a call at 718-664-9323. The number again is 718-664-9323. And the next question I want to ask each of you is personally, what is your recollection of that morning on 9/11? And Alfred, do you remember where you were and what you were doing that morning?
Yes, you know, it's probably one of those archetypal moments, like when you heard about the assassination of our president, John F. Kennedy. And it just so happened that 2 days before, on September 9th, 2001, Dr. Stephen Greer of the Disclosure Project and Dr. Cal Rosin and myself had hosted a very large extraterrestrial disclosure event at Simon Fraser University here in Vancouver. And it was overflowing, and the spirits were, you know, was just really high. And disclosure was going to happen now. And I was scheduled to have a meeting on the morning of September 12th with Lloyd Axworthy, who was the former foreign minister of Canada. He was then at University of British Columbia. And he was the foreign minister who organized the Landmines Treaty signing conference here in Canada, where 120 nations came together over a weekend here in Canada and signed the treaty banning landmines. And Princess Diana had gotten behind that landmines treaty and had been part of the impetus to get all the nations to sign it. And so we were going to meet with Lloyd Axworthy to enroll him in banning weapons from space and also in the extraterrestrial disclosure issues. So you can see that we were starting to really move toward the positive line at the global level. And I was sort of, you know, early morning, and I got a call from my colleague, Dr. Cal Rosin. She had flown back to Los Angeles, and she said, Alfred, turn on your television to CNN. And so I turned on the television, and, you know, I saw all whatever CNN was showing then. I think one of the UFOs had hit the towers, and, you know, and that drama, that false flag operation, that PSYOPS was unfolding. That's my recollection.
Well, at that time, do you remember, did you think that it was the moment you saw it strike the Twin Tower, did you feel that it was a false flag operation right off the bat? Did you have this insight?
Yes, I did, because Congressman Henry B. Gonzalez of the House Banking Committee actually contacted me we wanted to form a congressional investigation of the assassinations of John F. Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy, and Malcolm X, which we did in the House Select Committee on Assassinations. And I was a director of a public interest group called the Assassination Information Bureau. And so I was very cognizant of that the John F. Kennedy assassination was actually the what we call deep space warfare and had many different levels to it, and was when both at the celestial level, that is at the spiritual level, at the exopolitical level in terms of the Greys and the Reptilians, and at the political level in terms of the Ra's'al faction, who were actually behind the assassination and through their instrumentality of the CIA, had carried out the assassination. And so I had been a student of false flag operations for, you know, for ever since, for almost 30 years. And so we were actually one of the first news agencies. My news agency, I hadn't started exopolitics.com. Mine was called ecologynews.com. And we received a cell phone call from a report of a cell phone call from a U.S. Armed serviceman in an aircraft carrier off of New Jersey, probably the aircraft carrier that launched the cruise missile that hit the Pentagon, and that was reported as a jetliner. And that serviceman reported that this was a U.S. operation, and we put that on the internet. And so I was probably the first person on the planet to officially report from a whistleblower, this U.S. serviceman, or among the first, that this was a false flag operation on the very day of 9/11.
Wow.
Wow.
I should have talked to you, Alfred. I'm just, like, humbled by the information that you have, and you've been doing this for so long. It's like, wow, I'm just in awe right now.
I think that once one commits oneself to a destiny line, then events arrange themselves around one.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Wouldn't you say that?
Yes,
I agree with that.
Wow.
I'm just
in awe right now. That, as I'm listening to Alfred, I'm just like, wow. Here's someone that went through all this stuff, and not only 9/11, but back with the JFK thing, and I mean, you had your fingers in this thing. You were a big part of it, and here it is, how many years later, that we're speaking of this, and to have somebody that had first-hand knowledge of a lot of this, and not to mention to be in some of these committees, and you're on my show, and we're all talking together. I'm just like, oh, my
God. It goes back really, really deep. I mean, I was sailing off of Palm Beach with my friend, and, you know, we almost ran into the Honey Fits, and Jack Kennedy was on the back deck in a pair of red shorts, and he was laughing his head off. And after the assassination, when I first went to New York in the kind of the late 1968 as a Wall Street lawyer, I became a friend of Jack Kennedy's roommate at Choate, which is a prep school. And he and I became close friends, and he was sort of an advisor of mine. So, and Jack Kennedy was a soul who came in kind of from a high celestial place. You would call it an upper dimensional warrior, maybe from, you know, even beyond this galaxy, even beyond the black hole, the galactic center, say at the universal level. So these are very spiritual, you know, deep spiritual events,
right,
that are occurring. And 9/11 is one of them. Right now, I'm engaged in a series of interviews. I've released parts one and two have been released. This is an interview with Jerry Wills, who is a healer, and he is an actual extraterrestrial that was left here as an infant as part of a project of the Council of Worlds that has, you know, brought many infants to our planet to sort of leaven our planet. And Jerry Wills, every so often would meet with the delegation from the Council of Worlds, you know, throughout time that would brief him and, you know, and they would meet every year on his birthday, and his birthday was September 11th. Jerry Wills is 6'8", and he has prodigious talents. I mean, it's kind of like the Superman story. So he said that the last time that he has met with his group from the Council of Worlds, they were supposed to meet on September 11, 2001, and they didn't show up for that meeting. And so a lot of the upper dimensionals have kind of gone back and gone quiet, because this was not only the Bush gang that and the Nixon secret team that Annie Bashago was a witness to, that they got the information from a forward time base in 2045, but at the dimensional level through reptilian and gray connections, and then at the celestial level, at the spiritual level, you're also dealing with different spiritual and divine coordinates. So 9/11, I mean, Laura can tell you more, but it's basically the tower card. Laura, maybe you want to talk about that.
Sure. Right now?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just kind of free associating here, but...
No,
you know.
Go ahead, because it kind of, that'll dovetail into what we're talking about. And, you know, I'm remembering some of the things that Nostradamus had talked about, and with the towers will burn and of the new city or something like that. So there's a lot of things that coincide with that. But go ahead, Laura.
Yeah, well, the tower is all about upheaval, sudden change. Anytime one has, you know, just in their own personal lives, a total breakdown, everything's kind of crumbling, kind of exposing something very vulnerable and naked beneath the surface, which would be soul. And so, I mean, we could look at it as those that are being affected by this, as it's rattling our worlds to the core of our beings and causing us to just stop and take a breath and really, you know, assess who we are, what the situation is, what this means, and where it's taking us. And so, you know, basically it's crisis. It's everything, you know, chaotic, explosions, crashing, breaking through everything going, being humbled, experiencing a crash, having downfall, you know, what one can perceive as misfortune, or suddenly also realizing the truth, being able to expose what's been hidden, having a burst of insight, being able to see through illusions. So, you know, it's one of those cards where at first, the first stage is feeling very negative and very fearful and everything's crumbling and it's just there's no control. And then all of a sudden, you know, you rise out of the rubble and everything just, you begin to get answers. And so we're still dealing with, you know, the tower card in this situation. We're rising out of this experience together with a level of understanding of what this truly represented. But the first phase of it was just, you know, feeling under attack, feeling extremely vulnerable, not knowing the real truth of the matter, and just feeling, you know, fearful. I mean, I remember I was in D.C. I was working at a plant nursery, and I saw it on the news while we were with everybody. And it was also around the time that anthrax was being mailed to post offices close by. And around that same time, you know, somebody had gotten a little bit of white powder on the dash of their car in Bethesda. And all this was going on, and I got sucked up into this vortex. All of a sudden, you know, right before the towers fell, I felt this incredible amount of peace, like everything was going to be okay. I felt this incredible light and consciousness and just blissful energy coming in from the skies. And it was just like everything's going to just kind of be okay. But then I stopped, and I was like, but this is usually when something weird happens. And literally the same day, you know, this kind of happened, because I just remember feeling this clarity and just this peace. I'd gone through all this stuff, and it was just like everything was feeling right. And then I just got a little nervous, like, wait a second, you know, it just doesn't feel like we're allowed to have this yet because of these other agendas. And then that happened, and I got sucked up into this vortex. I had to shuffle my cards probably 6 to 8 hours a day just to help rebalance certain energies on certain dimensional levels. I don't really understand it. I just do it. I don't try and analyze it too much. The tower card kept coming up. And just this process of transformation and just, you know, allowing the negativity to transmute into just a revelation for humanity. And it really launched a whole other phase of my work. And after I had kind of gotten through the trenches of all that and sort of kind of rebirthed myself out of it, at the same job, this butterfly landed on me, which represents transformation. And I thought it had a broken wing, and it just would not leave me alone. And all these kids were coming up. They're like, oh, cool, you know, there's a butterfly. I'm like, yeah, I think it has a broken wing. And I was holding it on my finger, and I would put it anywhere on my body. I even punched out with my time card with the butterfly with me. I was like, okay, well, it's totally injured, obviously, or else, because butterflies are, you know, finicky. They don't hang out with anybody. And then I went out to my car, and I said, you know, if there's a real miracle and this butterfly is actually alive, you know, I got to drive now. So then all of a sudden I look at my finger, and it's gone. So I look on the ground. I'm like, where'd the butterfly go? Because I know it was injured. And then as I'm going into my car, I turn around, and it starts flying around my head. And I just had this feeling like, oh, my God, you know, the butterfly was not injured, and it was telling me something. Because for at least a couple months, you know, I had gone in sort of this vortex of tarot shuffling, focusing on the tower card, bringing it to this next level, and then this butterfly shows up. So, and the card started to mellow out, and I got the world card a lot, which is very symbolic of the tower in a way, because it's kind of the restoration of wholeness. It's the 21st card of the deck. It's the last card of the deck, which brings things to completion and fruition. And I just kind of anchored that into my being and just kind of carried, you know, a feeling of strength, and that no matter what that has been shaken up from this event, you know, there's some sort of clarity that I can carry, even though I didn't have all the details of the conspiracy. I didn't have it all figured out, but energetically I knew that it was about traumatizing us on some larger level. Something was behind it, whether it channeled through so-and-so, it didn't matter. Whether it was Osama bin Laden or the government, it didn't matter. It was on the larger scale. It was, you know, to completely sever, you know, just our sense of stability and security in the world. Even though we don't normally have it, this is hitting way close to home. So anyway, definitely connected to the tower card. So I hope I answered that okay.
Absolutely. Terry, I know that you use, like, a lot of angel cards. And does any of that ring true to you, what Laura just said?
Well, yeah. actually, it was quite, in my eyes, when she was explaining, it was quite a beautiful experience for her. But at the same time, it was really speaking. The whole incident was speaking to her. Of course, I wasn't reading our angel cards at that time. But at that time, I remember, like, it wasn't, it was basically, all I remember is the fact that, like I was saying earlier, is that I didn't fear it. I was just kind of like stunned for a short period of time. I was in my backyard, came out in my backyard, and I'm hearing, I have my, I think she was about a 3-year-old granddaughter at the time. And I come out and I hear her mother and her friends saying, oh my God, we're in war. United States is in war. And everybody was just like, everybody was freaking out. And I'm just, all I could see was that, but I didn't feel it. And so all of a sudden I just turned around and I said to everybody in my yard, I said, get out of here. You know, it was like, I just told everybody to leave my yard because here I had a 3-year-old in my hands and I didn't feel that it was necessary for her to feel that fear either. And so I didn't get quite the experience as most people did during that time. But I would like to say that the experiences that Laura was feeling, I'm feeling now for something else.
Something that's about to occur, are you saying, or?
Well, that's what I feel. Yeah, I feel like the same thing that Laura was feeling at that time.
Right.
I'm feeling those same types of feelings, like in the last, I don't know, probably for about 6 months now. I think even when I was with you, I think my channels were speaking of it. And it's almost like you're feeling the waves of something.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then you're seeing it in the animals. right now. The animals are speaking to us right now. And my guides are coming through, by the way. I just wanted to let you know, Mike, I can feel my voice changing. And so basically what's happening is that the same type catastrophic event is occurring again.
Well, you know, it's funny because as Alfred was talking about the how things were moving on a positive path, and it was imminent where all this was just going to come out, and then this major to what was about to open up for humanity was just halted by this other event. And as he's talking, I was going to ask him the question, but I wanted to give you guys, everybody a chance at that. But I want to come back to it just for a second, just to point out that I was having this feeling within me to say to Alfred, you know, do you have that feeling now? Because right now, so many people are coming out and waking up and speaking of this, and it's almost like we're right on the cusp of this thing to just blow nationwide. So from what you're saying, Terry, it's like, I don't know. It's like there's a impending something. I don't know what it is.
I'm not going to call it an impending doom. I just want to make that clear.
Okay.
It's basically what it feels like is a huge transition.
Right.
Even for ourselves. It's almost like right now we're all riding on a wave of, it's not like a wave of energy that is really large. It's almost the size of a tsunami.
I feel like I'm just waiting and waiting. It's like, when is this going to end so I can get my clarity? And I don't know if it has anything to do with Mercury retrograde.
Yeah, well, that we're all waiting. This retrograde has been very strong. It was a very strong retrograde because even myself as a Libra, usually I can ride over these, you know, these retrogrades. But I had to really focus on being inside more than out because there was just so much. You could see it actually how it was affecting the earth with the fires. And so it was this retrograde. And if you notice, most of the fires were started by something mechanical. And so basically, it's not just the fires. It's just a lot of things that are happening to humanity, even the way people are speaking and feeling.
Each one of you, I mean, we communicate, of course, outside and off the air. And I just wanted, you know, to be said for the record that, like, Laura, I know that, you know, I've Skyped you and Alfred and Terry, telling each one of you my heartstrings are being pulled. And I don't know how else to describe it. I know I think I told you that yesterday or the day before, Alfred, and you were like, what does that mean to, like, me as an experiencer? So to kind of define it to you. But I just have this feeling of my heart, I don't know. I can't even explain it because I'm not an empath like Terry, but I'm now recognize when something's going on with my body. And it's just confirmation to me that as I've been saying this and telling everybody this, that now that we're talking about this on the air, and go ahead, Terry, you were going to say something about that. I'm sorry.
That's because you're connecting. We're becoming a part of the experience. And so...
Are your channels coming through, Terry?
Yeah. These are three Syrians.
I hope they have a message. I can hear them wanting to come through. So I'm going to give you a minute just to allow that process to happen because as you continue to talk, you're more in your consciousness. So let me just talk for a few minutes here and just interrupt me whenever when they're ready to come through.
They are ready. You go ahead and
we will await when you are ready.
Well, I'm sure that all the listeners and I'm just going to ask permission from my guests, Alfred and Laura, do you mind if we allow Terry to channel and allow this information or this message to come through right now?
No.
That's fine.
Okay, Terry and the channels, go ahead with your message, please.
Okay. We have been with this vessel all of this long day. In its own time frame, we wish you a greeting, our dear Syrian brother, for we have met with you many times, and we wish to allow those to call us if they wish Kalandasan, along with Zumak. We know very well, as the soul's travelers to this earth realm, just take great joy in our visitations, for we are all around you, and we are the guidance system, whether we are in the physical form before you, or whether we are transforming ourselves into the human appearance. And because we are here now, and many of us are waiting on thousands and thousands of ships of many different, what you call life forms, the Syrians are here of light. These, as this vessel, we have allowed it to become its healer of mankind. And as the messenger, release the hold that you carry of this earth, its beauty in your two physical eyes are as beautiful as the homelands that you come from. So lift your sword to the fear of being held back for all of the vessels that are with us, including this vessel, are always feeling that sense of being held back by the seeds. They could be the seeds of your own loins. There's so much illusion other than what you're dreaming up and what you want, you can attract. And you are the only one as all in this collectiveness, or this connectedness. For you are now attracting all of your star sisters and brothers, and you are, as this Alfred has communicated very clearly, that you are in this stream of energy that is just falling all into place to the point where the veil will be lifted. It will be lifted from your eyes so that you could see beyond all and allow yourself to rejoice in these gatherings and these groupings that you are witnessing. You may not even know why you are doing what you are doing right now. The wisdom, the frequencies are getting higher and higher in the tonality, and you will see that the barriers and the blocks that are in your energy fields will be lifting. So we speak of love of your earth, and we surround you And now many of us are above you and around you. And you, as your veil lifts, will recognize your own kind. Just let go of your human feelings of what is what used to be. For you will find that you are blending the past, the present, and the future into your reality. And those who block you can only walk away for your light, for especially as the fear you carry with light. For those who block you at these higher frequencies will have no will have no power. Just as in your human existence, once you feel the love of self, then no one has any power over you. We are now ready to answer a question or two to put clarity into our message.
Alfred, would you have a question for the Syrians that are coming through Terry right now?
Well, the question is really about the positive timeline, because none of these negative events have they plan them, but they all fall short, and it seems like the core of the universe is really moving toward a positive timeline, and that seems like a mission that we're on. And is this correct?
It is correct. For this is your and all of those. This is why we have come, in order to allow you to recognize that even when you think that there is something catastrophic or out of control in your own life, you will come to this great awareness that there is a greater, very positive reality behind all of the what you recognize as a great. Those opposing forces have no hold, and in the long run, they will not have any significance over your power. Does this answer that correctly?
Awesome. Lauren, would you have a question for the Syrians?
Yes, I'm wondering if there's any advice or guidance about how to handle some of these hidden agendas and projects that are abusing children that cause us to feel, you know, very responsible and, you know, in need of helping others break free. Is there a specific way that we can do this and protect ourselves as well and get them out of these situations?
We will have to ask you to relate the question slowly.
Oh, yes. How is there any guidance that might be useful in order to understand how to help children who are being abducted and some of the incredible abuses that are taking place on our planet to the young children and innocent people? That are in government.
The guidance comes from when we come to this place of raising the Earth's vibration. You will see this coming very shortly as these children are coming into their own power. We do not speak through this vessel of any political or governmental design, for it is not that message that we bring. But what we do bring is that the fear that many are putting out there in their thought processes, if they change that thought of abduction and abuse, which is in the policy as we speak, you will recognize a great change as it has already been changing.
So would you say, I'm addressing the Syrians, that because thought becomes reality, and by helping those see and to be in the to see in the eyes of more of a blessing type or a positive manner, that's what manifests before them. So in other words, if they think positively and the people that, I mean, I know in certain realities there are some of these opposing forces in this negativity, but if more people are thinking in a positive timeline, does that, by virtue of the thought, does that kind of eliminate or raise the vibrational frequency to the point where it just kind of falls away?
And it does. And, yes, this is the awareness, and it has already been into the process of reaching many, even in humanity, because now many think differently. And as the transitions of when your currency changes and new awarenesses of living more in the feeling way, you will see less and less, for many are now beginning to understand to live through the heart and not through their memories. For even as we speak, the memories of even the what you would term as past life and karma are disappearing. So we would say that as we speak, and this is why we are here, is to transmit this energy of the higher, what you call dimensional light of your, they say fifth dimension light, and transmitting this through these waves of energy through humanity, less and less of this will occur even in the abduction of children that are going into the fourth dimension for experimentation and food change. We have a very close eye on this as well.
So the vibrational frequencies that each individual person or being on this planet has, as they raise in their vibrational frequency, in the eyes of energy, just by virtue of having or holding and working on each individual person and raising theirs, by coming into contact with other people, does that not raise in their vibrational, their individual vibrational frequency? And as such, do people's awareness is raised as well, and therefore the negativity kind of just falls away?
That is a part of it, yes. But there is much changes occurring in order to even raise those vibrations, and as because it is just not based on humanity. It is also based on the labor.
All right.
As well.
Alfred and I have also spoken about, and he gave me a concept of, as we have different people speaking from different parts of the planet just with on this show. Alfred is in Canada and on the West Coast, and Laura, I believe you're on the West Coast as well. Terry is there in Colorado, the middle of the United States, and I'm on the East Coast. And so by virtue of us being tied in together with this radio show and broadcasting across the world, does that help in raising this energy?
Yes, technology will be here for a little while, and it is raising the frequencies through communication. For now, many are coming into this awareness, even at a lower soul level of awareness.
Wonderful.
So they may remember. It is not humanity as a human being. It is the spirit and the growth of the soul that can be in any dimensional aspect, including your fourth dimensional beings, those who seem like they are inhumane, are only living out what they know in their own belief system, and they too are in this whole gathering of vibrational energy that is all shifting even in these other vibrational realms of existence.
Great. Alfred, do you have anything else to ask?
I'm just kind of following with that. I noted that the vessel said that she felt a great cataclysm coming, whereas I don't feel that. I feel that there's a great opening coming, even though some, you know, that is parts, great parts of the shadow government are preparing for a great cataclysm in 2012, 2013. But it doesn't seem like it's coming.
This is not what we speak of. In the human form of preconditioned feelings, these can be mixed feelings of thought. As the vessel lets itself go, even what you would look at as a catastrophic event in humanity's eyes can be the greatest blessing before you.
So depending on the perspective each individual holds upon that event, does that make the difference? If you're looking at it in the eyes of an observer or as a blessing, like what blessings came out of it compared to someone coming from the perspective of the fear of the situation and the inhumanity, those are two different situations. Is that what you're saying?
But as these energies come closer and closer to these realities, and all the eyes become open, you will see, some may see it as catastrophic, and others at higher frequencies will see it as that golden light.
Exactly.
As Alfred sees.
Yes.
And we must end this soup for the vessel gets very dehydrated.
They're always telling her to drink more fluid. She's always dehydrated. Okay. Well, thanks so much.
Blessings to all. And, keep the message correct.
Wonderful. Okay. So, although we've been talking a lot of the various whys of 9/11, it was refreshing to hear the Syrians come through and give their insight on maybe looking at the events that are about to occur in a positive light, as Alfred has suggested and actually has been speaking of now for several weeks. And if we maybe focus more on the positive timeline, and I think we've all discussed that in the past, that thought becomes reality, and then, of course, that's what manifests in front of you. I really think it's important for us to look at things in a positive light. And, in fact, what's prepared here in front of me, I wanted to end the show on a positive note, and we do have about 40-45 minutes left. And what I'd like to do now is go into that positive aspect. And Alfred, I wanted you to maybe start off by saying, what did you see in the, or out that came out of 9/11 that was a positive thing or a blessing? Like, what did you personally, can you think of anything right off the top of your head, or do you already know something that was positive that came out of that?
Wow, that's a very hard one for me. I mean, it would, for me, to look at 9/11 as positive, it would take a very long-term perspective.
Okay.
Because 9/11, the intent of 9/11 from the perspective of the perpetrators, first of all, there was from their intent, 9/11 was not a complete success. They were to have destroyed the U.S. Capitol. And 9/11 was to have launched a worldwide thermonuclear war. And by some of the evidence, and to have launched a worldwide dictatorship. So we would have been plunged into a living hell immediately. And, you know, the power of light and the power of the dimensions and you know, all of the forces worked so that all of that didn't happen, comma, and what occurred was the launching of a worldwide war of aggression, including a worldwide covert nuclear war using depleted uranium weapons, which have greatly destroyed and weakened the DNA of all living things, most notably in Central Asia, where in Iraq now, if you go to Fallujah, in Fallujah, the radiation is higher than it was in Hiroshima at the dropping of the atomic bombs. And all the, you know, the incidence of birth defects and monster babies being born is just horrific. And all of this, and these are studies that are now being published, and they're all being suppressed by the mainstream media so that the U.S. public and the world public doesn't recognize what is actually being done by the U.S. government and by its troops, which is nuclear genocide against Central Asia and against all of the world, because the ionizing radiation from depleted uranium weapons takes about a week through the Gulf Stream and the westerlies to reach from Iraq to the U.K., and that's being measured at Alabaston, and then it takes another week to reach the U.S., and that's why the U.S. now And Canada has raging rates of diabetes, autism, and infertility. It's not because of what people are eating. It's because of ionizing radiation. And that's all part of the intent of a depopulation program. So there's all this kind of stuff going on. And I am working with people who are exposing this. They're whistleblowers in the nuclear area. One of the main ones I'm working with is a reporter for the Palestinian Daily. He was getting his stuff out of the UK 2 days ago, and a man came over and closed his trunk in his car. He was an agent and tried to bring him down and knock him unconscious. So I'm dealing with people who are, you know, trying to bring this out, and it's really tough. And the other part of 9/11 was to impose a domestic police state worldwide and to the Patriot Act, and there are 9 levels of a martial law matrix that have been imposed, and so the good part is, I guess, some part of the population is waking up.
That was my point. Like, you just discussed a lot of physical 3D stuff that was all negative, and it was, but some of the things I see.
I just had a very sobering conversation with an extraterrestrial from Tau Ceti who was sent here as an infant and who spent his life here. And he's a very knowledgeable person. And he's not that optimistic about where humanity's at. We are here as emergency light warriors, and that's sort of our task, is to be kind of cheerleaders and to try and wake people up. He was more, says, well, if you're talking about a positive future and it's just you in that positive timeline, then you're going to manufacture a hell for yourself, because the bulk of the people aren't going to be there with you. And the thing is to bring the bulk of the people along with you. Well, we can see through the snares and the psyops and the delusions. So the issue is, what about the bulk of the human population? So there I see that we're under evolutionary overcontrol, and that I credit the dimensions and the upper dimensional help and the celestials that's really getting humans through. And it's really a tough road with humans and the propensity to fear. I mean, to, especially in the U.S., which earns its bread and butter from warring on the rest of the world, and it's still fielding armies to go out and blow up these poor Iranians. I mean, I'm on Iranian television all the time, and they're about to have nuclear bombs rain on them, and you have the bulk of the U.S. population saying, yes, we have to knock them out, and Iran doesn't have any of this stuff. It's all lies. So, you know, in the end, after 9/11, more and more responsibility is going to be on the human population. And so I say that there has to be more accountability. And the American population cannot cut it with spiritual materialism. It cannot cut it with burning Korans. It cannot cut it with blindly authorizing wars and signing up for wars and applauding troops who go over there and have poisoned the planet and know what they're doing and have killed over 1 million Iraqis. It doesn't cut it for me. I'm sorry. So, no, it's hard for me to see the blessing in disguise, because I don't I don't cotton to the self-righteousness of the American civilization. I don't. And maybe that's just something that I need to get through in this program, but it's kind of come up for me that the Americans continue to support the fairy tale of the false flag operation and continue to send troops into battle and into war over obvious lies. And the rest of the world feels that way also. And perhaps, Laura, you come from a distinguished American family, and Joe, you come from, you know, the heart of America, and Terry, and perhaps you can explain it to me. I'll take a different point of view just to kind of role play because I'm a citizen of Canada.
I'm happy to speak next, if that's okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I take a lot of position with Alfred, and, you know, obviously him and I do works and projects and have outlines of what a positive future, you know, what needs to happen in order to create that. But when you are we're born with unity consciousness, with a positive approach, knowing that you're coming from a higher dimensional frequency, you know, it's all about knowing that one carries it within. But there's nothing positive about watching what the planet has to go through and watching it be deceived and watching these disasters happen. And it's like, yes, the positive aspect is, sure, it wakes people up to some very ugly truths at the cost of incredible pain and suffering. And, you know, it's hard for me to see the positives. I don't take the approach where, well, people wouldn't notice the good unless they noticed the bad. You know, I mean, maybe that happens for people who are in car wrecks and they say, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. I've woken up. I've changed my life. I mean, there's all sorts of stories where people really thank the adversity or the cancer that they had, you know, but normally the reason they are able to thank it is because they broke free of what the doctor told them or what the drugs they were on was doing, and they found their own inner wisdom to rise out of it, not because some leader or doctor or drug relieved them of their pain. They went on some sort of soul journey and found something much deeper from the experience. So it's positive in the sense that if people utilize it as a way to direct themselves into a deeper journey, not waiting, you know, for the government and not, you know, supporting going off to war and empowering these lies, but actually, you know, go into a zone that can reveal their own divinity, their own awareness beyond this sort of lower world, then I guess it's positive. But I don't find witnessing it and going through this, I mean, I still to this day, I said last week, every day is extremely difficult to witness all of this. I'm extremely, I just feel a lot. You know, as much as I can heal from my higher chakras, I feel deeply all the time. I'm really emotional about what goes on all the time. And I'm not worried about myself. I don't have fear, but I know everybody's moving at their own pace. And this is really what it comes down to, is how does the tower card work in their life? How does alchemy work in their life? How does the shadow side of adversity, I mean, of their lives and adversity work in their lives? And the only hope that I can give anybody is that they utilize it to take it as a catalyst for their own freedom, of breaking free, of waking up and getting out of this. Because this is the trenches. This is, to me, like a very hellish realm. And we have chosen to come here absolutely as emergency light workers and transformational workers of, you know, really changing the frequency on a root level and major restoration as architects. But it really depends on each individual. What did they sign up for? You know, I mean, I've felt in prison before. I felt, you know, confused by what my body was telling me. And I was able to just not go to the doctor or go into that zone and break free and break free and break free and say, okay, I get it, you know, at a very young age. And follow that and keep going with it. So that's where it can be positive. People are willing to take that route and go that deep. But it's not positive if it's just a disaster and nobody's opening their eyes and the same patterns still keep happening and people are still giving their power away and living very disempowered lives that are either in fear or in total trust of a false system that is never going to guarantee freedom. So my position is that it's positive as long as the individual discovers wisdom and discovers something that you don't normally hear about. It's something deep within the soul that a few of us are able to speak on. And yeah, there might not be many of us on the positive timeline, but I certainly will never, ever doubt the fact that it's there and that I've completely morphed in it, and there's no way to break me away from it. Even if I have a horrible day and I feel negative, that has nothing to do with the timeline. It has nothing to do with the timeline. It just has to do with my reaction to seeing such a painful world and so much chaos and disarray and lies and deceit. But it's not about my fear of the positive timeline. It's just the desperation to want to help so many people and feeling like I can't as much as I'd like to.
Okay. Well, you know, this is the first time in Universal Talk that I'm going to be on the opposite page of what Alfred and Laura are saying. And I hear everything you're saying, and I can see what you're saying in a three-dimensional sense and an awareness. But I'm looking as an observer from a higher point of view. And from what the channel just said, they explained it quite eloquently, is that it's about energy. So if you have a higher awareness and you look at it in the eyes of energy, more so than the three-dimensional and the physicalness and all the trauma and the hatred that's out there, I mean, that's what you attract to yourself due to law of attraction. So I feel that if you look at it in the eyes of unconditional love, and, you know, I don't know what the people that signed on to come, but I know that they had a role in this. And it's refreshing to me to know that each individual person incarnated to do a specific job. So their life, whether it be lost from burning in a building or it falling, it's really not a loss. It was they did their job and they did it well. And they came here to make a change. So in my eyes, I look at it in the eyes of, wow, these guys came in here to make a transformation, and it was a huge undergoing of these buildings going down. And if you look at it in the eyes of, oh, my gosh, these bastards that are out there that are doing all this negativity to the world, but I look at it as, you know what, we incarnated in here to make this change for humanity. And some of the people that did this were part of the people that were in the Twin Towers, in the Pentagon, in Shanksville. And I look at it at a higher awareness where, you know, and because of the Internet, I think that it's some of this stuff may have backfired for the powers to be. In fact, this information, this awareness is getting out there. People are coming together in different disciplines where they may have just kept their eyes closed or put their head in the sand like an ostrich if that major event didn't happen. People of different or various disciplines have come together to make a proof or a truth that says, look, we have controllers on this planet, and look what's really going on. Put all these pieces together, and now take a look. Do you want to live for another 1,000 or 2,000 years the way you are? Or because of this great event that happened, it was almost like a wake-up call where the past 9 years, all these pieces, people were putting all this kind of stuff together. So I see that as a blessing. Like,
of course, all
this information has come together now to enlighten or raise this awareness in a higher light. So I see what you and Alfred are talking about.
The same thing you are. I don't understand where you think it's different. But
well, before I answer that, Tara, are you still on the line?
Yeah. Actually, what I'm realizing is that every one of us, there is a great awakening that has been happening, and it's been, first it was slow, and now it's becoming faster. And what's happening is that we are all driven, if you think about it. We're all awakening to things that have never existed before, such as channeling, and, I mean, they've existed, but in a different way. And so we are now coming in, and we are helping humanity and helping people to see everything that is happening in their lives and helping them to change the way they think of it. Like, I know as a holistic practitioner, you know, when I'm working with somebody, whether it's hands-on healing or whether it's, as simple as smoking cessation and hypnosis, I'm always teaching them, you know, and I feel driven to teach people, to teach humanity how to see their adversities, what they consider a negative thing, differently, you know, so that they can see it at a different perspective, at a higher frequency or a higher vibration. And most of these people all you're doing is helping them to remember. Okay, so what's happening is that we are all coming into this higher awareness that is helping to make all of these changes, including what's going on overseas. You know, because it's kind of like pay it forward. You know, it's like what you put out there, okay, is somebody else is going to say, oh, wow. And the same thing, like if you're doing a group program of some type, people are only going to take in 20% of what you said. Like even this program that we're doing right now, people are only going to take in 20% of what is said, and they're going to take in what is important to them. And then they are going to pay that forward. And this is how we are changing. So, Alfred, you have a wonderful knowledge that, wow, it just put me in tailspins. You know, and Laura, I can see the healer or feel the healer in you. And actually, you have a great knowledge also, research-wise, and to the point where you also are taking that knowledge and you're using it as a healer. And so everything that you're doing, and Joe and myself, we are taking whatever we're creating to create this transition. And sometimes there has to be challenges, and there has to be what you call negative or opposing forces, okay, to break through the barriers, as simple as somebody coming into your office who's being abused by their husband, okay, to the point of letting that person see themselves differently, you know, of creating a higher self-esteem, which is also a vibration of energy, okay? So if it's that small, okay, and that person's able to walk away from something abusive, then look at what we're doing at a global, you know, just by going through the Internet, by Alfred, you bringing in your information, myself bringing in what I'm bringing in, whatever that is, and Laura, yourself, and Joe. So that's all I have to say on that. I don't know if I went on a tangent or not.
No, it was, I enjoyed what you said. The only reason, like you mentioned, Terry, that people will get about 20% of what you say, whether it be a conference or whatever. And one other thing that you have to keep in mind is there's research out there that people retain what they read at the very beginning of a book or at a conference and at the very end. Those two things are most memorable to people. So I hated to let this show go on a negative note. That's the main reason why I tried to turn this into a positive thing and to point out some of the blessings that at a higher observation came out of this 9/11, because, yeah, it was horrific. And we all went through it. We experienced it. We know people that were in it. But I try to look at everything, and I mean anything and everything now, what blessings came out of it. And it's, sometimes it's hard to do, but that's what I wanted to point out to the listeners. And not saying that Laura or Alfred didn't have that awareness. It's just that you both were presenting the three-dimensional awareness, and I wanted to kind of get off of that and say, okay, well, that, yes, that's, I understand exactly what you're saying, and I see that. But
well, no, Joe, just to jump in here. 9/11 required a universe emergency plan to be activated. We are now in an emergency situation to avoid planet side, to avoid this becoming a death planet. In other words, 9/11 was a death blow at the planet. And up until that time, this outside of 3D, there was an enormous exopolitical plan going on. I mean, there were people that were being groomed as ambassadors. They were being taken up on spaceships.
I don't know what's going on here, guys. Hold on.
Yeah, it's science.
Alfred, it's a frequency you're carrying.
Yeah, it's
you're exposing to
9/11, there was a very developed multidimensional effort going on the planet to bring the planet in for a soft landing. And, you know, groups of people were being groomed and taken onto spaceships and all kinds of stuff. And 9/11 was a death blow. The power of the dark side, they exercised maximum power to try and destroy the planet with that. And a lot of those other missions were called off. And the Council of Worlds went quiet. A lot of people went quiet. And you can read books of people who actually had been part of the other ones. They were taken on spaceships. They were ready. And then 9/11 happened, and all of that was scrubbed from it. And these are exopolitical missions. It isn't 3D. We're not talking 3D. We're talking deep space warfare, okay? And 9/11 totally misused advanced technologies like time travel. And they took it and planned it out from 30 years back and brought in a president and his father, George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush, to act out a lot of demonic stuff in biblical prophecy and in Book of Revelation prophecy. These people are really acting with dark force energy, multidimensionally at the celestial level, at the exopolitical level, at the political level. So fortunately, because there's a divine protection order out on this planet, we were safe. There is a divine protection order out on this planet, and we were saved. And so we're now digging ourselves out, and we're moving on to the positive timeline, and it'll be a much richer story. But we're kind of the emergency team that is now coming out. We're sort of the plan B that is coming out now, and we're scrambling because we can tell you that we're operating on a shoestring operation here as ground crew. But we're operating with divine power. So that's kind of the paradox.
Yeah. I just wanted to say, I don't think I was saying anything negative. I was saying it depends on each individual because it's a catalyst. It's like anybody who goes and has an accident thanks that accident or that illness for waking them up. And that was my whole point, is that when something happens that's adverse, it gives us a chance to really break free and really, you know, retrieve a wisdom and an intelligence that we're not given in school or by our government. So I don't see where I was
even making it. From our winter luxury edition is essential oil infusing luxurious rhythm. New Airwick candles wrap the whole room with ribbon after ribbon of indulgent scent. Like apple.
A different
and expensive
way.
Oh, God. Winter luxury by Airwick. Also available in scented oils.
Laura, I'm sorry. I don't know why this is just.
That's okay. No, but I just think, you know, it's multidimensional. It's not 3D at all. I think it's a chance for us to really dig deep and to break free and get through the false matrix by knowing that there's hidden truths, which backlashes on them because when we wake up, the flow goes back on them and hits them in the face. And if we can perceive it as something to give us the opportunity to dig deeper and to go into a whole nother level of being, then of course it's positive. But if we don't, and like somebody who finds out they're sick and just goes on drugs and and does not do the healing work, then the patterns keep continuing. So
right.
I was pointing out the fact that it's positive, but this is where it could be negative. But that's up to that person's soul growth. That's up to their contract and their agreement with what they're going to experience on Earth. I'm just saying that it's hard to watch, but it doesn't mean that it takes me away from the positive timeline at all. It just means that I have compassion, and I wish I could do more to help wake that person up. That's all.
Okay, Terry.
And I let go. I'm not that – I mean, I have to let go.
Terry?
Yes.
I can hear
you. I'm right there with Laura. I mean, it's – I think I've already explained it myself to where it's just a matter of I'm just a small part of this aspect of change that is happening, and I too, you know, even though I feel things and just like Laura, you understand those feelings and you sit there and you try to discern them out, okay, but when it comes right down to it, what we're doing is that we are all four of us on the radio right now is helping humanity, helping others who are might be a little confused, put a little piece of their own puzzle, okay, to be able to understand the timeline, be able to understand what's going on. And, Joe, I do understand that you always want to keep everything in a positive note. And Alfred, actually, that last statement that you just said made it really clear. You have so much information. You have so much information that when you're talking about it, it does sound, kind of scary to people. But when you just spoke, like you just put it all together, and that made so much more sense to where a lot of people will probably take that small amount. Sometimes it's just simplicity. You're just looking for simplicity in order to be able to communicate. And so all of us are all looking in the light. We're all looking for a better, to keep this world alive. And we're all just a small part of it. And boy, Alfred, I'm amazed over the information you have. So that's my piece there.
All right, so we have about 12 minutes left. And I'd like to give each of you, starting with Alfred, an opportunity to... if there's anything you'd like to leave our listeners with.
Well, it's for me, it's a great sense of adventure.
Hey, I'm so famous. How are your neighbors coming over for dinner? I vacuumed my carpet, but it's still so dingy. It's still an expected way to get this season possible.
Get your carpet completely clean. The moist part.
Are you there?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, don't even waste any breath on this.
This is so frustrating, I can't tell you.
No, it's just psyops. For me,
yeah.
It's just it's a great sense of adventure to participate every day in the positive timeline because it's like, wow, man, how creative.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You follow me?
Yeah.
How creative. I can remember back in the 70s, I was part of a spiritual community in rural Canada in Ontario. And we were deep in the woods there, and it was pretty far out. It was amazing. And we were having conversations. They said, yeah, at some point, you know, all these mystics are going to be running around teaching people how to stay out of World War III,
yeah.
You know, by just walking between the energies. And, you know, like 40 years later or 30 years later, that's exactly what we're doing.
Right.
So it's pretty amazing. All that we're doing is using our frequencies to really shift the field and bring humanity over into a new field. And that's exactly what we're doing.
Right.
So that's amazing. And that's what I want to leave people with this September 11th, 2010.
Awesome. Laura.
Yeah, I just want to let people know that there is a huge attempt to feed off of negative energy and to look at adversity as a chance to defy or defeat the reason that adversity is even happening through the dark forces and to understand through your own particular path that you might have attracted that to you in order to utilize the good of it. So one might be saying, we want this to happen to you to break you, but your personal path might be saying, well, we want you to be exposed to it and go through it in order for you to really rise into all that you truly are. So it's kind of like, you know, a game in a way, but, you know, anytime something bad happens to me, we talked about it last week, I find the positive and I kind of rise out of it a stronger, happier, more kind of humorous person, and just able to let it go, even though the force that inflicted me with it wanted the opposite, which is to break me down and feed off of it, my pain, maybe my misery about it, which doesn't happen. You know, I say I have a hard time all the time. It's more the feeling nature and caring and loving. It comes from love, not fear. And I handle it, but, you know, just to really see that this was a huge global catastrophe, like anything that happens in our own micro lives, and to completely look at it as an excellent opportunity to realize that the positive timeline is there and they're only afraid of you stepping onto that, and show them that you're going to do it and there's nothing that they can do to keep you from it. No matter what they throw at you, you're who you are and completely aligned with your divine self, and it's going to take you on the adventure to just your wildest freaking dream, and your imagination will be free to create, and all the lessons that we've learned for lifetimes is going to give us that wisdom to not fall into these traps again.
Wonderful. Terry, I don't know if you can tap into your steering guides that are with you today, or if you want to speak on your own and give your...
Well, I think I need to speak on my own, because after they left, I feel much different. I mean, all day long, my heart strings have been just, like, pulling all over, and I had all this communication going on, and I'm sitting here, well, should I write this down? And they're saying no. And, so finally, once it got released from me, I'm back into this Terry form now. So, but I always welcome their visitations, though. And I really would like to just let, you know, touch base to those who are going through changes. You know, when they're going through changes, and because when I have been going through these changes, a lot of times, like, I would feel the doom and gloom. I would feel so much things that were so confusing. And I just say, step back and allow yourself to just go within and be quiet and realize that if you are making more out of what is happening to you in this transition, just allow yourself to realize that you just need to bring everything back into simplicity. And that is what I truly believe that part of this 9/11 was all about, was to help to bring that shock, if you want to, a shock wave, into helping humanity to look at their lives in simplicity. And so I think that's about all I can bring out.
One last thing I'd like to say is, what would you guys maybe take 30 seconds each? And I'll start with Laura with this. What would you say to people for self-help rather than relying on the government or relying on their mom or relying on anybody? What can they do themselves? We always talk about self-help, and it is about you, each individual person. What can they do in relation to helping themselves in these times?
Really put yourself in situations that are challenging, but find the joy in it. I used to camp Wilderness Expedition Leadership, and I hung out in 20 below and snow forests and froze my ass off, and I was just like, this is it. But then it was just, like, funny and fun, and it, like, had no food, and you smelled bad, and just let this, you know, learn to laugh. And, like, you know, put yourself in a challenge and realize we all are survivors. We have a will to survive, but it's our emotions and our beliefs that are what defeat us more than our physical bodies, and it's will to just keep on going no matter what. It just depends on the vibration we choose to flow in. So the best self-help is to just really fall in love with who you are, not so much the ego part, but just the spirit that we're made of, and the fact that we're unified and we're not alone, and anybody out there has a similar story. You just have to look for it and realize that nobody can help you, but you can certainly feel that, you know, you're not isolated, and there are others that can relate. And just to have fun with it a little bit.
Okay, great. Terry?
I would tell everybody just basically what she just said, but at the same time, I would also be telling people as they are approaching those times or difficulties or whatever the case may be, to just, again, be still. And another thing is that look outside the box. Don't recognize that you are, if you are like in this narrow-minded thinking, ask yourself, how can I see this in another perspective? And always ask. Remember, you are never, ever alone. So always ask, and believe it or not, if you believe and trust in guidance and something bigger than yourself, you're going to get that answer in very shortly. So just don't sabotage it by trying to get in your own way.
Awesome. All right, Alfred, I'm going to let you close the show since you're, like, tapped in today. And you're a plethora of knowledge here today that we're all excited about.
Wow. Well, I think my contribution, you know, and Terry said it partially, is to really go within and to – what I do is I focus on the singularity at the core of our universe, that portal at the core of our universe, which is now starting in mid-July, started to emit waves of enlightened unity consciousness. So the field that entire universe is enlightened unity consciousness. So anything that is not operating in enlightened unity consciousness is operating, you know, is kind of like not going to survive that. So just stay in that, you know, and that's the most important thing, is just stay in that kind of like field and that vibration, and, you know, and just accelerate your vibration, stay in there. Okay, and that's it.
Glad you brought that out, Alfred.
This show has just been crazy. It was a little bit frustrating. I'm glad we're ending on a positive note, though.
Whew.
Okay. So I apologize for all the interruptions to you guys. I don't know what happened, but, you know, like you said, Alfred, I mean, these things happen. And Laura, you did a wonderful job as well. And Terry, thank you for channeling. I think we all brought a little bit to add to this puzzle today for 9/11. And I want to thank you all for being on the show. And, of course, we're going to do it again probably next week. Our next guest, Tom Payne, will be discussing, is there a pattern to historical events, and where is this leading us today? Of course, I want to thank you all for tuning in. If you like the show, dislike the show, any other questions or suggestions of content for future shows, email me at universaltalking@gmail.com. Or if you missed the show and would like to listen to the content or would like to refer a friend, simply log on to my website at www.universaltalk.info. And this is Joe Morris signing off for Universal Talk.